This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast, episode 4 of the season. Thanks for everyone for joining and listening again. Really good numbers on last week's episode, actually. So, yeah, thanks for your continued support, and we'll keep churning them out. Got a couple of big guests coming up in the next couple of weeks, actually. We're just chatting, so we'll reveal more soon. But, yeah, keep your eyes peeled for them. It is. Right then. Another week has gone by in the world of QPR. We're joined by Bradley, is back in the house. He's had a lesson on all the players' names. He's up to speed. How are you, mate? You okay?
No, I'm good, mate. Good. Good to see your faces again, and good to see you, Jack. Let's hope I pronounce some football players' names right tonight.
What's Osman's surname?
Kakai.
ever present Duncan, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Bit of a tiring long day, but apart from that, not too bad. Looking forward to the new quiz with Bradley pronouncing players' names wrong.
Can't do that. And we've got Jack back on. Jack, is it Suppler? I always forget. I'm really sorry. It is Supple, is it?
There you go.
Supple.
That's the first one. That's the first mistake.
I just call him Opta Jack. That's why.
Literally. That's fine as well, mate. Whatever you want to call me.
How you doing, mate? You okay?
Yeah, good. Yeah, pleasure to be back on and let's dissect what's been going on at QPR.
Yeah. So from the last pod, a few things have happened. We've had obviously two games in Hull and Swansea. Also had the transfer deadline day, and it shut in. So I'd like to reflect on them. I guess let's start at Swansea. Obviously, a great win at Hull, great performance, great 70 minutes. Go to Swansea. I was really confident, like we all probably were, which is actually always a downfall. I always get overconfident and think I shouldn't get overconfident because I know what's going to happen. And it happened. And yeah, I mean, not a great game really for the whole 90 minutes. Huffs and puffs was what I thought would take out. And I thought, with the selection, maybe no changes for a third game in a row was probably the wrong decision. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, but the high line as well, that seemed to bother me, especially what he said in his press conference, which we can touch on. But Jack, not good, mate, Saturday.
Yeah, I didn't go, but I did watch the game and I watched it online. And I must admit, I felt a bit like you. I felt the way Swansea play and the way we have started to play with the high line and going after teams in their own half, I thought it would be an absolute golden opportunity to sneak an away win. I think there was a couple of decisions that didn't really go our way that I think, you know, the Willock pull in the first half and the penalty wasn't a penalty. I know he saved it. But there's certainly a few things that it was some weak refereeing going on. But, you know, Swansea, you think they're going to have all the ball. QPR came away from that game having had more possession than Swansea. And that's the first time that's happened to Swansea in a game this season. And yet, despite that possession, you know, that dominance of the ball, so to speak. We only had 8 shots and 3 on target. So you think they did a good job at stifling us overall, really. Didn't see much of Willock. We didn't see Chair had a chance in the first half, sort of 1-on-1, didn't need to at an angle. But yeah, it was a difficult one. I mean, we had a couple of little things I noted. It was only Senny Dieng's second penalty save in the Championship. He also had one against Cardiff, so it's something about the Welsh teams that he likes from the spot.
Yeah, I like that.
Tim Arubanum is the second Tim to play for QPR. First one since Tim Breaker in 2000.
So that's Breaker, yeah.
Awkward stat there. And then obviously Armstrong and Tim coming off the bench. It was the first time two teenagers appeared in a game for QPR since May 2018 versus Leeds under Ian Holloway. Could you guess who those teenagers were in May 2018 that came off the, you know, that played in that game?
What year, sorry? May 2018.
Under Ian Holloway against Leeds. We had two teams playing that.
Yeah, so would it be Charity Easy?
Eze's one of them. The other one's a bit trickier.
That makes me think it's someone. Was it? Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Played up front. I'll give it to you. It was Ote.
Ote, of course.
Mate, I forgot
he even played for us already.
I know that goal against bubbled enough. But now a couple of one clean sheet in the last 21 away games. It's not the best offensive record, and you'd like to think we've got to tighten up at some point at the back. But that were my thoughts generally. You know, a bit of a missed opportunity. I didn't think Swansea were great, and I felt they did a number on us. Stifling our creative players.
Well, I think everything Jack said, to be honest. Swansea had a lot more, felt like they had a lot more chances that they should have finished. A few free headers, we got off quite lightly. But yeah, it was an hard day. And am I wrong to think that Dickey was to blame for the goal? It was a silly pass to field under pressure in that area of the pitch for me, but I suppose he just wanted to get it out.
Field's error, really. But I see what you mean. Dickie didn't help him, did he?
I think that's the way we want to play football, isn't it? We want to play it out from the back, which means the midfielders have got to receive the ball in those kind of areas. And it just doesn't help, does it, when Swansea pressed us quite high, like were all over us, really, in that first half, especially, weren't they? So it was a bit of a disappointing game. I think like Jack's hit the nail on the head with most of the things he said, really. Like, there's not much more we can add apart from refereeing decisions, but we're going to get onto referees a bit later, so don't want to say too much too soon.
You've been on the high line, because we played a high line at Watford, we played a high line at Sunderland. I can't remember Blackburn being that obvious, but we might have at Blackburn. But Beale's interview said that literally, we don't know why we're playing a high line. That's not what we've told them to do. It felt really odd that's what we were doing, because it's so obvious, it's so high, that why would you not change it? Do you know what I mean?
I thought it was done intentionally. I thought we were trying to copy like Liverpool's style of having a high line to then squeeze the pitch. So when you press, we're pressing a smaller amount of pitch and we're winning the ball back higher up the pitch. I thought that had all been done on the training ground.
Yeah, and I think for that reason, De Sales looked pretty good because he's got...
Yes, exactly that. Our midfields look better because of it. That's exactly what I was going to say.
I feel like he's got less ground to sort of cover, and he's actually snapping into tackles and he's getting across the pitch pretty well because there's, it's condensed area. And obviously a little, tweak putting field, more deep line. I know he made the error against Swansea, unfortunately, but before that, in the last few games before, I thought it was really good, and I thought we're seeing a bit more of Johansson, I think... Yeah. Johansson's got 4 assists already in this Championship season. I think it's like joint most in the league. So, he's sort of revitalised, I thought, in his last few games. But, keen to see what you think about what they do with the midfield when everyone's fit.
But it's interesting with the high line, though, because obviously we've got the wing-backs now to deal with that, because obviously they've got the pace. But, have we not got the centre-backs that has the pace to get back if the defender goes behind? But even if we bring Balogun in, will he have the pace to play a high line? Obviously, I don't think Bill wants to play a high line, but if it keeps happening, that's obviously where we're getting stung.
Well, they didn't do it did they? So that was what Watford did a bit more. They were their wide men a bit more making those runs, which gives everyone a bit of an opportunity then to get back. But what Swansea were doing, what I noticed in the first 30, 40 minutes, were their midfielders, centre midfielders were just running through constantly. They had three or four of them just quick, and they had their forwards were coming inside. And so it was essentially versus Dickey and Dunn. I don't know if that was intentional. It looked like it was intentional by Swansea manager Martin. But that seemed to be, it was just a bit odd that in his post-match interviews, he said that wasn't intentional and we don't know why we're doing that.
Maybe it's just inferring that he's a tweet coming up. Maybe it's just a case of just dropping 5 yards or something. Maybe he's just sort of
high in the seat. Maybe we were too high. We weren't that's high. We were supposed to be high, but not that high.
Yeah.
It was a great tackle by Powell running back. You know, it was that Swansea did a penalty. They wanted a penalty for it, but I think that was a blinding tackle. See the pace on it. I mean, our wing backs obviously had a quiet game because me and Dunk was at Hull. And they were superb at Hull. I think from start to finish, we was brilliant at Hull. Chair and Willett doing what they do best. So, yeah, it's a bit of a shame. But obviously, I think that Bill's going to change the team now because of his post, he was saying about tiredness. So, obviously, if he's saying they're tired, then I think the team will be changed. But then, have we got fit players there to come in and play a full 90? That's the question.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see... I'm going to say Tim, because when he came on, he looked good, didn't he? He looked like physical presence. He looked like he carried the ball. I mean, look, it's only a 10-15 minute cameo, so it's difficult. But he looked handy, didn't he? I'd like to see him get more minutes. It's difficult because those midfield three have been played quite well recently. But I can see him. It's difficult to not see that midfield not being completely different as the season goes on, and you know, slowly but surely we start seeing Amos come back in, Richards, you know, Big Tim come in, and that's how it slowly transitions. Not sure what you guys feel.
But I'm slightly concerned we've got too many players in those positions. Like, I feel like when everybody's fully fit, who is going to be, if we're playing with the three midfielders still, who is it going to be our first choices? Because there's so many players there. And against Hull, like, Dizelle, Field and Steph were phenomenal. I felt like they completely bossed the game. Like, as much as, like, Steph gets applauded because his pressing got the two assists, me and Brad were both saying Dizelle had been absolutely brilliant the first half, especially. Sam Field started the season really well. So I think those players, if they're going to come in, have got to really show something on the training pitch, or the others have got to really have a bad couple of games.
But that... Do you not think that just goes back to where he's saying the tiredness of these players, obviously the players we've got in the squad at the moment, it will be a rotational squad. He's not going to find his 4-11. He's going to rotate.
You normally have two per position, don't you? So three centre midfielders, you've got six midfielders, right? So that to me feels fine. You've got injuries, suspensions, tiredness, you know, rotation, like Brad said. So I don't think we're overloaded in there, but and I think it makes good competition, doesn't it, when everyone's fit. But it would be interesting to see how we go on as the season goes on and who actually takes their opportunity or their chance. And if we change it to five at the back, what does that do to the midfield as well? And how we play? Because I think Bill wants to do that. And I think when all the centre-backs are fit, I can see us moving back to a five a bit more regularly, which may then change that midfield, how it looks.
Yeah, I feel like the players coming back, like your Amos, your Roberts, Richards, especially Amos and Richards, I think they're capable of playing as one of the two behind the striker in the current system. You know, Amos offers something different if you really want to press from the front. We saw him have some good games last year where he popped up with some goals, playing quite further forward. And then Richards apparently can do both. Again, I must admit, I've not seen much of Richards. We're told that he can play an eight as an eight, and I think he's probably going to be direct competition for Dizelle. I think Amos can float in between those two positions. And obviously the lad from Villa, I think he's direct competition for Phil. And you know, I really do think we need a backup for Phil, because with his injury history record, I know he's been in the team consistently when he came back from injury last season. Since start of November last year, he's picked up more bookings than any other player in the Championship. 16 yellow cards, and he's committed the most fouls. He's not been sent off yet, but you feel it's not far off, you know, walking the line. So, to have a player that can come in and look, well, let's be honest, he looked a player, didn't he? So it's nice options, I think, to have. I think back what you're saying about the transfer window, I think where we are light is up front still. And I think we have been for a while, really. That's something to address going forward.
Well, we know that Tim's a player because I watched the Gerrard interview. I don't know how long back it was now, but when he played him for Villa, and he said the reason he played him because he was the best trainer, you know, he's seen. He said for weeks on end, he was the best trainer and he wanted to give him that opportunity. So obviously Bill's seen that, we've brought him in. So be interesting to see more of him for sure.
He's got that rawness about him probably as well, hasn't he? So he just needs to learn, play games and just sort of understand how the Championship works. It can be difficult at times, can't it? But just going back on your transfer, you know, transfer window, transfer deadline day, what was your views on that?
Obviously getting Tim in, I feel he's going to be a good option for us. Hopefully he'll show the potential everyone seems to think he has, and it'll be a good signing for us. I just feel like we've really missed a chance of not getting a striker in. I just feel like we've left ourselves really light, especially with Dykes struggling for form. Bond's situation is all over the place. Armstrong's not ready enough to be starting week in, week out. I feel like we've let ourselves down a little bit with not getting someone else in.
Yeah, no, it begs the question, why were we doing it so late? Like, you know, the picture has been the same for the last few weeks. Bond doesn't feel like he's in Beale's plans, right? Because he hasn't been in the squad. He obviously wants to go. We all know that, right? So what's why is it suddenly transfer deadline day and we now try and get rid of him and try and bring us up? You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be some thinking behind that. I don't.
Surely it'll get it. To do with budget, won't it?
Maybe clubs were waiting to see what we'd fall down to on transfer deadline day, because it does happen, doesn't it? You know,
But what I do like is obviously it looks like we're not just going to go in for any old Tom, Dick and Harry this time. You know, I think they want to get it right. They don't just want to bring a striker in for the sake of bringing a striker in. You know, I think how many times we've done that and fans have gone mad. So I think they're holding back. They're waiting for that right one at the right price, I suppose.
They're trying to avoid the loan market. There was some rumours we heard that they were trying to get free transfer in to try and avoid. They weren't looking at the loan market, which obviously, you know, your pool of people then decreases by quite a lot, doesn't it, if you just try to get these frees through the door. But you can still get frees in. So I don't know whether Bond staying now means we can't do that.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I'm only speculating as to why it was left so late. But I think, you know, made a good point earlier that it's got a chess match almost in terms of budgets and stuff like that. So at the start of summer, maybe a club's only offering a small amount of wages to cover Bond, for example, for the loan deal. The later you leave, you know, we're holding out for a better deal. We're also waiting for a Premier League striker maybe to come on loan. And then that situation changes because maybe the Premier League manager's under pressure by Gerrard. You know, it's hard to know, isn't it, from our side, but like Dunk, I feel it was an opportunity missed just to shuffle the deck a little bit, get Bon out early, and then try, you know, if there were takers, and then try and get someone in. I think I'm keeping a close eye on Charlie Kelman. He's doing quite well.
He's doing really good. But that's my point about Sinclair last week, Armstrong. He needs that. That's what he needs. Yeah. Every week, he needs that, right? But obviously, we need him, and he's got a lot of potential. So I get why he's staying, but I also agree that he needs that week in, week out, you know, trying to grab some goals, as much goals as he can. Bad look the other day, you've got to remember that January is not far away. I know it is in relation to a calendar, but it's not in relation to games because we don't play that many more games.
It's because of the World Cup, isn't it? There's a bit massive.
No, I know, but that'll be in their mind, won't it? They'll be thinking, well, hang on, we've only got 10, 11 games until the January window's open. So let's just see how we go. You know, we're not sure, but we could be sure. So do you know what I mean? That might be to do with their thinking as well.
Yeah, I mean, with Sinclair, I agree. I think in an ordinary circumstance, if you've got three senior strikers, he goes out on loan. But I think because he offers such a unique physical skill set that none of our other players have, he is a freak. Like, you know, in terms of his strength and his size and his, you know, how fast he is, he's got so many good raw attributes. It's almost like he's handy just to come off the bench, because even through like enthusiasm and hustle and bustle, he seems to be making things happen. I know he's not a natural finisher and he's missed a couple of chances, but he put one on a plate for Chair at home, who missed, didn't he? Rather, yeah. I think. So, yeah, I can understand the logic in keeping him, because he has been a bit of a surprise package, probably for Bill. But it's a bit of a mystery why Macaulay Bond's just not anywhere near the squads when, you know, he could probably do a job 20 minutes here or there.
But it's interesting, because I think it's coming. I can't foresee how many games Dykes is still going to start. I know he offers more. I can see what people are saying, and I've seen it for myself. The pressing, and he pulls the defenders out for Chair and Willock to attack. I can see that. But the striker's there to score goals, right? And obviously, it was good to see the fans behind them at Hull. We were right by it when it happened, when he missed that chance. But it was almost harder to miss that than it was to score it. His confidence is just not there. And surely Beal must be looking at that thinking, Bon, you know, he's there.
I don't think Bond's his answer. Bond isn't the answer in any equation to Beal, I don't think. I think Roberts is the answer.
Yeah.
When Roberts is fully fit, he'll be there. But I agree. I mean, Lyndon Dykes, where do we start? We talk about him every week. I mean, and we really want the guys to do well, don't we? We all do. Like,
yeah.
You know, he works hard. I know what he does to the team, and I know what he does for Willick and Shea. I get it, right? But to your point, Brad, like that game at Swansea, when they nullified Willock, they pushed them both further out. They got straight on him. And you're looking for a striker then to just grab a goal at nothing, you know, and then the game changes then. It becomes more open. And then that's when Willock and Cher can come in. That's, you know, my view on it. I struggle to understand.
It's interesting to know how many teams now, though, like going forward, are just going to man mark Cher and Willock out the game. You know, that's going to be everyone's plan, isn't it? Right, Cher and Willock, stick up. High pressure, pressure and pressure, pressure. Obviously, they're so good. They're the two best players in the league, easily. But they're so good at doing what they do. But with so much pressure on them, and like you say, Dykes needs to... But he's not that sort of player that's going to use pace and things. He's more of a get the ball in the box and get head on it. But he's not even doing that at the moment.
Yeah, that's the concern. He's not really getting in that many goal-scoring chances. And, you know, I went to the Blackpool and Rotherham games, and I know he missed chances, but it's also his positioning and like not being on the same wavelength as Ethan Laird with the cutbacks, or not knowing which run to make, and maybe he's hanging back the back of the 6 yard
box. He hangs back a lot.
And I think that any good striker worth their salt, look at Charlie Austin, you know, you make that little near post dart, you know, to get a flick on it across goal sort of thing. And, you know, you asked me to have a look at Dykes' stats. It's, you know, one goal in 8 league games this season, averaging a goal every 600 minutes, which is twice as much as his previous campaigns. So he's really taken a hit on an average there. He's only converted 6% of his shots. Last year it was 13%, the year before it was 20%. So he's had a massive dip in his shot conversion rate. So his confidence is at a low, but he is doing a bit of that Heskey role, isn't he, in terms of the dog work up front, holding the ball.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
All up, bring others into play. So he's bringing something to the team, you're right, but how... I think if that open, you know, that really glaring miss that he had against Hull, if he does that at 0-0, he doesn't get the reception he got.
No.
Does he?
Of course.
Not at all.
We have to good score from there, you know. They got to do
it. Over a one. That's just frustrating. Like, if he thinks he's offside, that's fair enough, but you still put it away. You play to the whistle.
Yeah, that's what. But it was good to see from the fans, though, obviously. singing his name after that. And Field literally sprinted the pitch to lift him back up and say, come on. And, you know, that's very good from the team. And I know after that, the fans were singing Armstrong, which must be brilliant for him being so young and getting a reception like that. But yeah, I feel like Bill, how much longer is it going to last? You know, something's got to change. But it's for Bill, is he doing the right thing? Because Cher and Willock are getting the goals. So in his eyes, he's doing it. He's just not doing what we want him to do and score.
But then again, it gets to the issue, doesn't it? Where, like with Swansea, we said Cher and Willock were marked out the game. That's when Dykes would need to step up and create chances or make more space for other players, or other midfielders have got to make more space and take the game by the scruff of the neck. And that's what we're not doing. It's almost like we're waiting for Cher or Willock to do something to find that spark.
And when we go 1-0 down, the game changes. That's the reality is when it's 0-0 or we're winning, you know, we're winning 1-0, you know, that's when the game opens up because the teams are trying to score, right? But when they score, especially at home,
just sit deep.
You know, that pitch just comes so much smaller that they compact, and then you're willing to chairs. They don't have hardly any room, and they get, instead of getting their 3 or 4 chances, they get 1 or 2. And if they don't put them away, hence chairs one, which on another day, that flies in the top corner. It's a great save from the keeper. And then we're talking a different game there. And God knows what would have happened after that if we went 1-1 just before half time.
Yeah, and that Swansea sitting deep is exactly why QPR had those inflated possession stats against Swansea, because they were like, come on then, try and break us down. And you're right, you do need a striker to take the game by the scruff of the neck, but it is also difficult playing up front on your own as a target man when you're not getting that much service in the game. It makes them automatically look a bit worse. But we've seen enough of Dykes to know when he's on it and when he's not, and he's not quite on it, is he?
I feel like he hasn't really been on it since that. Remember that injury he had? Ever since then, I feel like he had that injury and he went missing for a few weeks, didn't he? And then
Forest at home, wasn't it? He smashed his foot against someone and he had to go off and then
he scored in that game as well, didn't he? He'd be better, Dykes, coming on 60 minutes and after when the centre backs are sort of, you know, energy low. I've always said it, he'd be much better, much more effective. He'd score more goals. Appreciate, you know, you want your star striker to be starting and scoring goals. I get that. But maybe that's a way to get his sort of
like confidence back.
Yeah, his confidence, get him going. That's what you need. Something just to get. Same with Sinclair. We just need him to grab a goal. We need Bond to grab a goal, whenever he plays. Anything. Just something.
I'll tell you what we need. We need Roberts to get a goal. He's dying for one, isn't he?
Yeah,
him as well. He needs going up front, though, because he does link the play well.
Yeah,
he's quite mobile. Yeah. So maybe there's something there with him playing as like a deep line forward or whatever it is you want to call it. I think he could be the link man to create space for others and maybe he gets a goal as well.
I mean, it's just speculating. I think Bill will want to play 3 at the back. He'll want to play 2 set of midfielders. It may be a 2 completely different set of midfielders to what is in the 3 now. He'll get those 4 back as high as possible because they're lightning. And then get your 3, you know, your chair, your Willock and Roberts or, you know, whoever. I think that's what he wants to see. It feels like that's what he wants to do. Because he always mentions it, doesn't he?
So you think Dan and Dickie keep their place then and they stay?
Well, nicely on to Jim, to us 2 centre-backs. I want to talk about Jimmy Dunn. Get your views on him. Because I know, Brad, you love him. And I know he is we all love him. But I get a text from a Swansea fan saying, who's your non-league centre-back? And obviously that's harsh because he isn't. He's much better than that. But they couldn't believe how bad he was, literally. They were laughing in the stands. So my question is, I guess, to you boys is Jimmy Dunn, does he suit this style, or is this, you know, is he the way forward? Is he just an interim till we get these 2 centre backs fit? Have we got a short memory? Have I got a short memory?
I think it's difficult, isn't it? I think a lot of our centre-backs suit playing in a back three. And I feel like they get exposed a bit more in a 2 because neither Dickie or Dunn have that burst of pace. So when we play high lines, they're going to get caught out. And I always get a feeling with them two, they don't necessarily work as a partnership. There's like a little bit of trust missing. They don't seem to, like, you know, like the great centre-back partnerships of the past where like one goes one for sort of ahead of the other one covers up, like, you know what they're going to do. I feel like they don't read each other's games very well, if that makes sense.
I mean, I'm a big Dunn fan. I love Dunn and I love his passion for the squad, and I think he does bring a lot. But yeah, I do see where you're coming from. There is there is a weakness there in regards to the players that we've brought in, for sure. But yeah, I think it's a tough one because I wouldn't want to see him dropped. But and then he is definitely going to be the one that's going to be dropped. But is this Balogun going to be a starting 11 player? That we don't know, really, is it?
Well, I think if Clark Sorter doesn't get injured, we're not having this conversation. Like Dunn isn't in the first team, right?
Yeah.
I feel sorry for Dunn because he's not left-footed and he's playing left-sided centre-half. And he's playing almost in a high line now. So as you say, all the things you touched upon, you guys, like they're not the quickest. They don't have the best recovery pace. And, you know, you're asking one of them to essentially play on the wrong side. Now, I don't know if it's worth trying. If they're going to persevere with two, why don't switch them around? Dickie's the better ball player. A lot of our football goes along that left side in that, you know, Cher and Willock on the left and Powell and everyone. I don't know why you don't try Dunn on his natural side and just see if he's a little bit more comfortable because he looks quite awkward and he looked very awkward on that side against Swansea. So I felt for him. Maybe, as you say, the centre-backs we had were kind of, were they bought with the three in mind, you know, for the lack of pace. But maybe Dunn goes in the middle of the three, Balogun goes on the left, until Clark sort of comes back and Dickie goes back to the right and we see how we get on with that. Maybe we'll see a bit more of a solid defence that way.
Don't like Dickie at a free.
Yeah, but Bill's actually come out and said, hasn't he? I don't know if you boys have seen it. He said one day he'd like to see three at the back. That's
he
the
plan. Every week he does. He says it every week. So I kind of think that's his way forward. Jimmy Dunn will suit, like you said, Jack in the middle, and then you've got the two new boys who will go on the left and probably Dickie on the right with your two fullbacks. And then in the centre midfield, you know, you've got to take your pick really.
Yeah.
No.
Who are you playing there?
Do you think the dodgy penalty decision got in Dunn's head?
Oh yeah,
Do you think that kind of threw him off his game a bit more because it was so blatantly not a penalty, like it bounces off his belly
because he was saved. He should have felt.
Yeah, sometimes it just plays on your mind, doesn't it? Because you know in your head you've not handballed it, and then in the back of your head you're thinking like that's going to play on your mind a little bit, and it's going to bother you. And was his head then not focusing on the game enough?
I think you're right. I think there was a bit of a head loss for 10 minutes or so before they scored. I feel like it was all a bit panicky, a lot of mistakes. Like Bill said, it was a lot of our own doing. And a lot of that at the moment is coming from the centre-backs.
Do you think, as much as we praise the wing-backs or the full-backs, do you think them being so attacking worries Dunn and Dickie? That there's a lot of times they are having to really sprint back to cover. And do you think the centre-backs are panicking that they're being exposed a little bit more in a two than they would be in a three?
I mean, you need your centre midfield, you need your field then, or your two wide centre midfielders to cover. But yeah, I mean, I thought they both looked a bit tired on Saturday, Laird and Bell. I mean, he got better in the second half. But it's difficult because we've got no one to come in and cover them. That's the other problem. Have we? If we want to give one a rest one week or we want, you know, or come off after 60, 70 minutes, it's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. We haven't got no one, but we can push. There's no one even we can push out there, is it? Adoma, we can put him on the right like Balls did if needed, because he did play quite well in that role.
I don't like that. I don't know about anyone else.
Oh, playing Willock at left wing back again.
But then this just comes to my point. Once the players are back fit, you know, the new players we've brought in, will he still bring a Adoma on? Will Adoma still be used? Obviously, he's a very impact player for us and we absolutely love him. We all love Unks. But will he be used as much as we would want him to be used, if that makes sense?
Depot as well. It's a shame he hasn't got more of a few more minutes. There's just something in him, but difficult. You know, being an understudy to Willock and Cher, that's just difficult for anybody to come in, isn't it? And try and influence games as much as they do. Bill's got lots of things that he needs to figure out, hasn't he? Because I'm still not sure he knows his best 11 anywhere near, I don't think. He knows what it is as it is without injuries and stuff like that. But with everyone fit, who does he play? Now, one thing I wanted to touch on was the refereeing standard again in this thing. I mean, the refereeing in the whole football just seems to be at an all-time low for me, but especially in the Championship. But just it doesn't seem to be getting any better, I swear. It's like you go to games now expecting the referee to do something wrong.
Like, do you feel like the Championship is crying out for VAR? Do you feel like we need it now more than anything?
Not in the way they currently operate it in the Prem.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I wanted to get a touch on, because it's so bad to use this weekend in the Prem. Would it make any difference anyway?
Think about the quality of people that will be behind. Because it's not VAR, is it? It's the people operating there making the decisions, right? They'll be even less qualified or experienced as the people in the Prem. And they're a bit more... It's just not ready, is it? I don't think.
No. Do you think Willock should have gone down, though?
Yes.
You think if he'd gone down, it's a red card and it's a completely different game?
Well, that referee bottled so many decisions. Was it Oliver Langford? If Willock goes down, he gives the referee a decision to make. Do you put Willock for diving? Do you, you know, card the defender? You know, what you have something to make, but all the while it just sort of tussles. And, you know, in fairness, Willock is, you know, strong, so he's trying to hold him off to get in on goal. But yeah, you go down, I think that's a free kick. The defender's in trouble.
Yeah.
He thought he'd get the free kick, so he sort of stopped and like, well, you know, looked at the ref and was like, well, obviously I'm being fouled here, but the ref obviously didn't give it. But if he'd gone down, that'd have been a completely different, like Jack said, you're giving the ref a decision to make there, aren't you? You've just stopped play, you've made for him, sort of thing.
I do think the ref, and obviously it does need to improve, but like we're saying, it's not really going to improve by any means if there's no VAR, because like you say, the refs are human. They do make mistakes like anyone else. But the decisions which have been made in the Championship have been shocking, you know, and it does need to be sorted out. But then will they bring VAR? And if they did, it definitely wouldn't be for a while.
No, exactly. But like, it goes like, even like the whole goal, like from where we were, obviously we were behind the goal. It looked a mile offside. Obviously, I haven't really seen a massively clear replay of it, but from most accounts, it's been offside. It was offside. Like, that's another. It didn't cost us anything because we were winning. But other games, margins, it could have gone the other way, couldn't it?
But it works the other way for us as well. You know, I feel like the Watford goal maybe wasn't offside, but on that day it was our luck, and that's what they missed. So it worked well for us on that day.
Keith Stroud special, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah.
So, Jack, I was chatting to you before this about Ilias Chair, and we had a discussion last week about him possibly not even being in full gear yet. But I was wondering how he's influencing games compared to last season.
Yeah, I mean, with Chair, I think he's been someone we think there's more there, isn't there? There's more to come. Maybe if he didn't hold on to the ball as long, maybe if he, you know, made a decision quicker, released the ball, it'd be more effective. Well, this year, you know, by and large, there's been a massive, massive jump in his numbers. I know it's very early days and sample sizes and everything, but he's averaging a goal or assist every 114 minutes in the Championship, which is almost half as, you know, regular, you know, just twice as regular as last season. So he's really made a leap there. He's already got 6 goal involvements in 8 league games, 3 goals, 3 assists. 6 of his last 8 goals have, you know, been from outside the box. So he's kind of been unleashed a little bit, you know, which is nice to see, because I got the impression they weren't told to shoot as much from outside the box under Warburton. But yeah, in terms of his chance creation, he's creating a chance for his teammates every 30 minutes, which is by far his best average in a QPR shirt. So, you know, and his shot conversion's up. So even with the long shots, a lot of his shots are going in compared to before. So, mate, you know, little tweaks to his game. We're seeing a new and improved Ilias Chair. I don't think he's quite at Willock's level just yet. In my personal opinion, I think Willock's slightly, you know, more of an asset, but I think Chair he's really turned it up this year, and it's really good to see. And I think he's having a big influence on us. But I do maintain he's a better player in the side, Willock.
Sure. They almost play off each other, don't they? I mean, when one gets a goal, the other one must get a goal. You know what I mean? That whole, when Chair scored, you could have put your house on Willock scoring.
It's like five aside with them, isn't it? They're passing amongst themselves. They used to be that Lee Wallace triangle, but now, you know, Kenneth Powell's joining in, and they just, the way they dominate games in pockets of the pitch is beautiful to see. But yeah, they really complement each other well.
I think to find a way, and this is being picky and wanting more, just to try and try and penetrate teams when we are, well, when the game is compact and stuff. We're at Rotherham, you know, Blackburn. There's many games this season where we could have done with just, you know, when the opposition have sat real deep Blackpool in the second half. It makes it so much difficult for them. But if they can find a way, that for me would just be like, you know, next level. So what we got player of the month then? Have we got, is it Jack seems to think we're all have the same one, but I'm not so sure. Dunk, what do you reckon, mate?
I was like, when you first asked me, I went straight to one player. As I've actually thought about it, it's a toss-up between two. But I'm going to go for just how influential he was against Hull, because that was the last game I went to. I'm going for Ilias Chair. I feel like he's had a really good month. And against Hull, he was literally the best player on the park. I know like his link-up with Willock was good, and Willock's had a good month, but Chair just edges it for me.
I think for me, I'm just, well, it's got to be Willock or Chair, but I'm going to chuck in Dieng in the mix because he scored a goal, and he scored the same amount of goals as our key striker at the moment. So that says it all. So for me, I'm going to go Dieng.
Yeah, it's Chair for me, unsurprisingly, after that, you know, monologue just given. But I think Chair is just, he's showing some real quality this year, and a direct free kick, first in a few years since Ed A. You know, so long gone are the Barbe free kick days, which actually are a bit of a threat when we have a free kick now, which is nice. But yeah, no, I'd Chair for me all day.
Yeah, I'm going to go Chair. I think Willock, Johansson, Dizel deserve a shout. Well, Willock deserves a lot more shout, but the other two deserve a bit of a call out. They've had a good last end at the end of August, but yeah, we'll go with Chair. So what we got, Huddersfield up next. Feels like another one of those games, you know, the Blackpools, the Rotherhams.
Like a banana skin.
It's going to be, it's going to be difficult. They're struggling. And it's just, you know, for me, I always find QPR do better against better teams. I don't know, you know, it's just always how it's been, hasn't it? But what are we thinking, Brad? Huddersfield?
Well, isn't it really? I think he's definitely going to change the squad up. The team will be definitely changed. I think, I'm not sure whether Tim will start, but I'd like him to start. I think it'll be a draw. I think it'll be a 1-1. We'll go 1-0 down and we'll score one in the 80th minute. That's my view.
Doug, what do you reckon, mate?
I put on my notes here, I put Huddersfield in the bottom three. That's the game we lose. it's just typical, isn't it? That's the kind of game that we think, like, they're struggling, they're not doing well, new manager. But do you know what? I'm going to be optimistic. I felt at home, we seem to be putting in a lot of good performances at home. I'm going to go for a 2-0 win.
Thank you, mate.
Well, a bit of a bogey team for us in recent seasons. One win in 9 against them, but we did win at home against them last season. And that was, you know, obviously we won our last home game against Hull. The last time we won consecutive home games was in November. Second game was against Huddersfield. So maybe there's a little omen there. Maybe we're going to get consecutive wins for the first time in quite a while. One clean sheet.
Which game against? Was it Blackburn, the other game?
No, I think it might be the other. Might have been Luton. It was like November time. I think it was sort of that when Phil just came back into the team. But I'm quietly optimistic, not for a clean sheet. We've only had one of those in our last 12 home league games, but I am for a win. I think 2-1. Fingers crossed Dykes breaks the duck, you know, gets on the score sheet after we've been, you know, singing his praises. But yeah, no, I think I'm optimistic. 2-1 win.
Like I keep saying, I wouldn't be surprised if we do go for it back. You know, so I'd watch out for that. But yeah, I'll go. I fancy a 3-0, you know.
Ooh. No. That's very optimistic for you.
I think that's the first time on the podcast you've ever gone us to win.
Yeah. I'm always pessimistic. So then when it happens, when we win, I'm always a bit more happy. But it annoys me more when I'm like Saturday, when I'm optimistic and we just tend to never win. All right, lads, look, let's close it there. We've got Millwall as well, haven't we, on the Wednesday.
So that'll be
interesting. Tough game as well, won't it?
Tough place to go.
Yeah.
And another one of a bogey team for us, aren't they, Millwall? We never seem to do that well against them.
Yeah, the Den, it's one win in our last 9 at the Den. So
we were there, Brad.
Yeah, we were.
Naki Wells.
Naki Wells, wasn't it, that one?
I miss Naki Wells. I was watching his goals the other day, mate. I really miss him. Like, he's scoring for Bristol City. I don't know what it is. Like,
warm again, isn't he?
Just miss him. Like, it's just his. I'd love him in that. I think he'd be quality in that team.
I said the same to my dad recently. I thought, I know we all are, we're obsessed with players coming back, aren't we? A bit of QPR. But I do feel like he was that. If he was available, we saw at the start of the window, there was talk about Naki Wells could be available, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think he would have been a missing piece in that attack. I think he would have got a few goals for us. But it's obviously nice to see him do well, just hopefully not against us when we play him.
I'm sure he will. He's on stupid money, isn't he?
Yeah.
He scored last time we played, didn't he? Or I think
last minute.
That home. We absolutely battered him, didn't we?
Yeah, it was
absolutely battered him.
I was there. Killed me, that did.
Yeah, that was an awful game. All right, lads. Well, crack on with your evening. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for everyone listening. Please, subscribe. Give us some feedback, positive or negative. We're always open to change. But up the arse. Let's hope for a win on Saturday.
Cheers, boys. You ours.
You ours.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.